That's what, where's my pen?
We're not going to start.
What's the date?
13. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Aiken City Council work session on October 13th. And we have one item to talk about this morning, the Old Aiken Master Plan. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Mr. LaDuc, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have the Old Aiken Master Plan. We have several objectives and goals that we need to be looking at. But today, we said that to get us started, we would look at the proposed zoning that's in the Old Aiken Master Plan and try to resolve what we would like as a council to see the zoning look like in the future with some clause written into the goals and objectives that this is something that the council is not expecting to do, but to aim towards achieving at some point in time. And saying that, I recall that one of the attorneys in town got up at the meeting and said, even if you go ahead and put what you hope it'll be someday, that may influence someone from buying or selling their property. And I say that only because I thought that was one of many good points that were brought up at that meeting. The downtown we picked, and there's four other areas, we're going to have at least four other meetings, and I'm hoping that if this goes well, we could cover the maps a little bit easier in some of the other meetings and actually start doing some of the goals and objectives. But I thought we needed to get started at some point. You may see in here things that you like, and the areas that are in color are changes that have been proposed by the various committees. But you also may see some things in here that are not colored that you may want to put as a proposal for some change. So keep that in mind also, that it's not only the areas that are in color that you may want to change in the future, but you might want to go beyond that in addition to look at it. The areas that you see that are in white on this map that do not have any coloring, what that is saying is we would not be making any changes. When you see a DB on it, that means Downtown Business District, and that's what the current zoning is. If you see it in color with a DB, and let's look at the very upper right-hand corner at Fairfield and Richland. It's showing downtown business zoning to change to be single-family detached and some multifamily in that area. Well, that's what they're proposing that to be in the future. Along Fairfield, north of Richland, all that property in there is already single-family. We believe that because it is single-family, that's the way people would probably want to go in the future. And the two, what I heard the philosophies at the last meeting is, well, if they want it that way, then let's talk to all these various owners and see if they'll go ahead and propose on their own to get rezoned. You know, that's one thought. The other thought is that a lot of them could be absentee owners or they could be rental units, and those individuals may or may not want to do it. And therefore, we would say that we're not going to rezone it on our own, but at least show it that this is something in the future that we would like to see this area become eventually single-family dwellings. And is that saying it pretty well, Ed and Sandra? More or less for an 8 o'clock in the morning? Thank you. So with that background, we could begin and look at these various areas. Unless you had some questions of Ed and Sandra, who have been the architect. We have Wade Brody here, who is the chairman of the committee that looked at the downtown area, to answer any questions that may have come up at the committee level.
Okay, sir. Thank you. A couple of things, and you mentioned at least one or two of them, Roger. We did say that one thought was, and I know that I was in favor of this, the first step before we do anything would be to go to each property and work with the owners of the property to see if they wanted to make changes where we thought maybe changes should be made. I think the council, pretty much without a vote, of course, but I think it was a consensus as we talked, that we did not want to change any property unless the owner agreed. And what bothers me about, the only thing that bothers me, I guess, about showing a map of not only what it is now, but of what we might want, what we want it to be sometime in the future, is what effect does that have on the property if someone wants to sell it to someone, and they say, well, I don't know, I see this map, and we talked about this too, I think, and it says that your council, your city government, at some point in time wants to change it. Are they going to come back after I buy the property? This is a hypothetical case, I guess. And say, well, we want to change your property at some other date after I bought it, and I want to use it for something. And then that just means that that person perhaps can't sell it at a later date for what they are doing with it at the present time, or perhaps can't get another owner to come in and to be able to do the same thing they're doing. This is...
I think that's
a
real
thing. Yeah. It's confusing to me a little bit.
It works both ways, too. I mean, if you have property that is zoned more a more restrictive zone, and someone comes in and wants to and buys a piece of property and wants to flip it to a less restrictive zone, that to me is unfair as well. I mean, investors have a right to expect stability, and we are the body, like you said, that can create a stable environment that they are willing to invest their money in. And that to me is very important, and it's worked. I mean, I think the city councils in the past, for the almost always downtown, have worked to keep things stable and not said, oh, come on in, Western Sizzler, we'll get this block level. They never did that, like other towns did. And you're right, it's a real important question, both ways.
I just look at it as if I would want it to buy a property, you know, and I could see a map that said, well, one of these days they want to change that zoning. Well, are they going to want to change that zoning when I have that property?
Of course.
And I don't know if it helps your analysis or not, but you already have that situation throughout the city.
We do.
You've got properties that are currently being used as a particular type of zoning, a pre-existing non-conforming use.
Right.
And I mean, it's not actually on the comprehensive plan that you want to change it to a particular zone at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. It's already zoned something differently than what that use is on that property.
Right.
I mean, the change has already been made, and that property continues to operate under the old zoning that allowed it when it was built.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
the question is, I think, do we want to continue
this is a less significant step.
Like that? Do we want to?
You know, the purpose of the comprehensive plan is for council to provide its vision of what it wants the city to look like at some point down the road. And you understand that it's not going to be changed tomorrow, but at some point, council has a vision, this is what it wants the city of Aiken to look like. Doesn't mean you're going to get there, but it means that, you know, ideally this is what you would like to see there.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as a building permit is issued for a property under whatever the zoning is at the time that the building permit's issued, you know, that business is entitled to stay there under state law until the business is destroyed for whatever reason, by fire or whatever, and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. I think the real key here, Mr. Mayor, is how proactive we are, and as far as it is a dilemma, but I don't know how we do a comprehensive plan, get citizens' input, and say this is, and of course, I don't agree with everything that the citizens' input came up with, because I think there's some things we need to change, but the real critical aspect here is with the other comprehensive plans we worked in, most of what we were doing, I don't believe we had this kind of wholesale changes of zoning. I mean, we were looking at newer areas coming in, or the existing uses were left the same. This is some wholesale changes of existing zoning, and that's where the real rub comes in. So as long, I don't, the people I've talked to said, you know, if somebody wants to have this zoning, that's fine if we want to be proactive getting it, but we need to make sure that the caveat that we've all, every one of us said was that we're not going to change people's zoning. Now, that really is the key. The question is how proactive we want to be on this, and this is from a legal side, if there is a comprehensive plan and it states clearly that we will not change anyone's zoning, and we could even send the information out to them and say, listen, if you want to request that your zoning be this, we will be glad to forward it on and do the regular things. But this is a legal question. Does that in and of itself pose a threat for a future use? As long as we don't change that one requirement, that we won't change people's zoning, it seems to me like we wouldn't. But I've been in the real estate business a long time, and all it takes is for there a thought to be that some future council would do it, and then somebody won't buy a piece of property because of it. I've seen that.
You know,
but I mean, if we make it that we will not change people's zoning is the first thing we're going to do, how do we, are we okay doing the other as far as maybe?
Remember, you can put in, council can pass an ordinance, you would pass an ordinance to do the comprehensive plan. And in, as part of that ordinance, you could put in the phrase, council will not involuntarily change any property zoning without the approval of the property owner, okay? And you've heard us say in the past, this council can't bind future councils. But I mean, as a matter of fact, you could pass that ordinance in November,
and in
December, you could propose a new ordinance to modify that ordinance to take that provision out. You know, the existing council could change that ordinance.
It's going to be an ongoing situation.
It is not a permanent thing. Council needs to understand that. It is not a permanent thing. I mean, this council can say that it is its policy not to, just like annexation, not to force anybody in the city that doesn't want to come in, not to force anybody's zoning to change that doesn't want to change their zoning. That can be this council's policy, okay? But to say that we're going to make that law and that's going to be the law of the city and that's never going to change, you don't have the power to do that.
Do that anyway.
And another thing is, I driving this route, I don't think there are that many pieces of property, we'll see, where people would object, like you said, to some of the zoning changes. In fact, I know the block across the street from me had previously been zoned limited professional, and it was a lot of work for those property owners to get that change made to residential. It was. We would be saving them a lot of work if this is something they want anyway. You know, they wouldn't we? I mean, it wouldn't have to be instigated on their part. They wouldn't have to do the lot-by-lot business and all that. So I think in some cases we're going to find that we're doing people a favor, but there are going to be some others that are not going to fly. But I really don't think... It may not be, it may be a bigger problem. I don't know. It may not be as big a problem as we think, and I think if we go block by block, we can see pretty soon.
I think that's the first step. I really do. Let's talk to each owner. I know it's going to take time. A lot of good things take a lot of time to do. But to me, that's the friendliest and the first step we ought to take.
And then it gets people excited about the plan.
Right. And as you say, Jane, I think we'll find some that want to do what we want them to do. And Dick, what do you think?
We're thinking of it somewhat. If we're starting right now, we're saying we have a concept. It's really just a concept plan. We're not going to approve it as such until we've had all the consultation with all the potentially affected property owners. Then I think once we've done all that, we can probably then make a better decision as to what we should implement, how we should implement. I know last time I sort of bought into the idea that perhaps that map must at least be a part of the overall plan. I'm not even certain of that now until we've really gone through these preparatory steps. Again, I think they did a wonderful job conceptually. We got to figure out how we can live with it as a law. Or if.
I think it is important to plan, though. I mean, I think we need to be able to say, what do we want the city to, I'm not talking about all the citizens, what do we want this city to look like in 20 years? And I think that's the reason why you go through a comprehensive plan. This being a guide, but, you know, we've got caught in the other thing, well, wait a minute, you can't change it because it's a comprehensive plan, so, you know, but this is one that's going the other way. But I think having a plan about how the majority of the citizens want the city to look, protecting individual property rights, is a good idea. And that's where we are. We're trying to balance that. So I think we just go through the process. Only question I have is how proactive we are to implement the plan as it relates to changes in people's zoning. So, you know, I think we've got the first one covered. And so there is a reason why you go through a comprehensive plan. That's to give people a little bit of stability about what it's going to look like in the future. And I think we just move forward.
Well, it's not exactly what it's going to look like in the future. It's, as you said earlier, it's what you would like for it to look like. There's a big difference. If you say, well, this is going to look like this in the future, that's pretty bad, because then you really put the fear into the owner.
Well, and the reason why it comes down to, Mr. Mayor, about what we did in the other ones is the fact most of what we're looking at were things that are in the county as far as what would be brought into zoning. And you can say, yes, if it comes in, it will be this. We're already here, you know.
Right. Let me ask a question. I should know the answer, but I'm real vague on it. The comprehensive plan we have now for the city, does it include the downtown area?
It does include Old Bay and Conceptual kind of way. There's a note in there that essentially says don't pay a lot of attention to this map because it was conceptual. There's a goal in the current plan that says we will do a detailed plan for Old Bay. But so it's kind of a conceptual map that's in there.
Does it actually have land uses?
Yeah.
In general?
It's the note, the caveat that's on the map that basically says don't pay a lot of attention to what you see here because we're going to be
Okay. Well, Ed, give us an idea, and I know you don't have it in front of you, but what would it say? What would it show on that map right now if we were to look at it, basically? Would it show what is downtown now? I mean, would it show what's here? Not in the colors, but because the colors indicate what we think we'd like to have it someday. Right.
It's been a while since I've looked at it, but I think it would be pretty close to show. You know, logically the commercial area in the core and a lot of single family residential around it with some commercial stuff, say along the road or professional, that kind of thing. I don't remember what it says about the industrial portions along Beaufort and Coffin. But I'd really need to look at it again to give you a real clear answer. I think it's pretty close to what.
Yeah. Maybe Sandra went to get it, I don't know, but but I figured it was in there somewhere in the comprehensive plan. But as you say, it's very vague, and it alludes to a new piece coming, right? A new plan coming, which is the reason for this that we have in front. Yeah.
There was one sentence in the overall that I don't have it with me as far as the overall goal was to increase the single family detached housing downtown. That's the goal of the whole plan. And I may be a contrarian here, but I'm not sure that should be the overall goal of a downtown city. I mean, when you think about when the railroad first came in here, it was done because of commerce. The railroad went right through the middle of it and businesses located in the downtown area. So I agree. I think we should foster and protect and do everything we can as far as, and even, but I'm saying that one signal, think about what that means, is the fact that people are sitting there with a business and they're saying, wait a minute, the whole comprehensive plan says that they want to increase housing And that's what our major goal is in the downtown area. I'm not, that one wording bothered me a little bit, because what it sends to the business community is, wait a minute, we just want to tax single family housing downtown, and a downtown has got to have more than that. I'm concerned about that wording.
I think we need to look at that. But one thing that is a fact of life that we do, and I think what they meant was, is that towns and cities that have downtowns surrounded by residences do better.
Oh, no question about
no
that.
Question about it. And we want to be sure that we don't let business dissipate into neighborhoods.
No, I think foster and protect, and I don't even mind the thing about some type of increase, because I think that's what I've been trying. You know, we've been trying to get housing down. That's the reason why the housing has. Yeah. That's the reason why downtown is doing so well, is because we got housing.
I know.
But that wording sends a, and I can't remember exactly what it was, Roger. It's right in the goals of the whole Old Aiken Master Plan.
Yeah, I sure didn't understand it that way, or at least where I think they were coming from. Is creating a bigger market for the existing businesses, not to threaten business, but rather to do what our smart growth principles of infill, reduce your traffic because you've got more people living close together. You don't need to get out on the whiskey roads to get down to your shopping, etc.
But if you then take it one step further, look at how many changes we're making in people's zoning, a business person will say, wait a minute, what's the signal here for the Old Aiken Master Plan?
I will agree that I'm on both sides.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a balance there.
I won't use the obvious phrase.
I've had one person, mention to me, gee, it seems like there's an awful lot of residential units coming downtown, and we don't have much room to grow our downtown, or to, if we keep taking all the various free space, so to speak. And maybe we don't want to grow our downtown any more than it is now, but that's certainly something to think about.
I do think that when the 1971 zoning was the first zoning that we ever had in the early 70s, I think that was back in the days when we looked at this block like the one between Fairfield and York and north of Richland Avenue and thought, oh, that'll all come down, or the next block over, that'll all come down and there'll be business there. And we're not doing that. That's not what's happened. We're trying to revitalize neighborhoods instead. And I think that's where the majority of our residential zoning changes are going to come in, Pat, not in some expensive piece of commercial property that I don't see anything on here like that, actually, on this particular map.
Well, there is.
But let's,
not in this one. Not in this one.
Yeah, not on this one. Yeah.
Wade, would you like to give us any kind of perspective on this and your thoughts, the committee's thoughts here? I think it's pretty evident because it's on the paper, right? That's your thought. But if there's anything we're missing, or how do you feel about what we're talking about?
For city council's sake, if for no other reason, I think this has been good opportunity for all of us to discuss how we feel about zoning and how we feel about these changes. It certainly gives a guide and direction for staff as we start looking at things in the future, how you all feel. And I think it comes down to some of the very basics as to how we plan for the future, because we're soon going to be tackling the north side, which goes all the way up to I-20. And I mean, we're talking about thousands of pieces of property and which are not zoned because they're not in the city, and this will at least give us some direction as to where and how we should attempt to make some distinctions as to what the future would look like. The one thing that Pat mentioned, and sorry, wait for a second, that Pat mentioned, is this is the whole purpose of the Old Aiken Master Plan, the whole purpose of what we did on the south side and what we want to do on the comprehensive plan for the north side is we are looking towards the future. What do we want this area to look like 20 years from now? And is that something we want to have done? And if so, how do you get to that point? And there's a variety of ways. You know, the one way is just the easiest way, probably on everybody's part, but it's the more difficult for the citizens that own the property. You just say, this is the way it's going to be, period. But then the property rights of individuals are infringed upon. The other way is the opposite, is saying, okay, we won't rezone anything unless the property owner gives 100% yes on it. So you have the two sides. And is there something in the middle or not? And I think that's, we're all wrestling with that, because I think we all want what we see in 20 years from now, but how do you get there?
What struck me the other night at City Council meeting was the way that gentleman that's going to redo Hitchcock Plaza said, we are interested in this property because of the rooftops surrounding it. That was it, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. If they hadn't been there, they weren't interested.
That's absolutely correct.
So maybe in every plan we make, we need to be sure there's some rooftops surrounding things.
Y'all answering all my questions? if you are starting from scratch and had all this vacant land where the city is, you wouldn't do so without a plan. You wouldn't develop a golf course without a plan or a subdivision. And this really is the way we looked at the old lake and master plan, as developing a guideline that we could use that would go way into the future. And we had no thoughts of council jumping in there right now and changing everybody's zoning. I mean, you're talking about packing a room, they'd be out on the street. So to me, that kind of takes care of itself. We did try to look at our balance on the commercial area and the residential area. And you certainly, for the downtown to be viable, have to have lots of people living downtown. And we're very fortunate, I think, to have what we have. But my thoughts would be that either you adopt this or adopt something similar, or if you're concerned about the controversy, just don't adopt anything. But to me, you need a plan to look to the future.
Just give an example. If you look at Lawrence Street and Southern Railroad, and I mentioned this at the last time we had this, which I think the new plan calls for multifamily. Is that right, Roger?
You're talking where number 10 is at?
Yeah, number 10 down.
Yeah, that's showing multifamily.
If you look at that, from a strictly real estate standpoint, the land around number 10 Downing would probably be townhomes, attached, to Tim Grove. And we've looked at, we all know that we've tried to do that at the Aiken Housing Group. And I think from a comprehensive deal, it would be good for anybody who's looking at the rest of it to do something with, either the Red Cross building or the land around number 10 Downing. Probably good to say, listen, the overall area here probably needs to be multifamily attached, whatever. But then in the middle of it, you've got number 10 Downing, and you're going to go to him, and the man just bought it. I mean, he just closed on it. I guess the way to handle this is just say, do we want the overall plan to look like this, but the gentleman number 10 Downing, we're not planning to change your zoning as long, and if you want to settle the restaurant later on, it's fine. That's what he's worried about. That's what he'd be worried about, is the fact that he buys it and he wants to sell it, then they're going to come in and say, well, but as long as he knows that it's not going to be changed, and what I would do is be proactive with him. He owns the land around it. He would want to do it as multifamily around it, townhomes or whatever. I'd even talk to him about it. So there's a case right there where the future is going to be attached homes downtown, but in the middle of it will be one property owner who has a restaurant, and we're going to say, as long as you want to keep it a restaurant, have a happy day, and you can continue to utilize it.
That's one block I don't think we should change, because under downtown business, as I understand it, he could do housing, could he not?
Yes, sure.
And he could do professional offices back there if he wished.
Only on the second floor.
According to the sheet that you drew up here, it says use is allowed all residential. That is not correct? Under downtown DB?
You're talking zoning, not master plan?
Yeah, I'm talking about zoning. DB says you can have residential.
Right.
So by right, he could keep the restaurant there and still have residential without having to get special permission from BZA or the council or anybody else. So number 10 Downing, that property, could go ahead and have attached townhomes throughout and keep the restaurant there and not have to get any special permissions.
See,
I think what you were saying.
That's an area that we need to encourage, I think, frankly, because, you know, if he looked at this and saw that it was financially feasible to his advantage, it helps the city because you got more people living there.
But if you went by the proposed zoning that is shown here, which says change to multifamily, then you couldn't continue the restaurant there.
Are we going to go like block by block and just kind of...
What I'm hearing from at least the people today is that you really don't want to change any of this unless the homeowner or the property owner comes to you with a petition saying, please change my zoning.
Yeah, but I have some questions. I'd like to have a plan, and I'd like to say we think this would be a good zone for your neighborhood. What do you think? But there are just some questions I have in different blocks, and I didn't know if you wanted to address that today or another time.
I think that's what we should do.
That's exactly what we're here for today.
Yeah. Well, we have a comprehensive plan, and we should have all the blanks filled in with that comprehensive plan, right? And what I'm hearing is we've got a big blank there for what we're talking about, the downtown area, that's fuzzy. It's not what's in the plan right now, Ed, if I understand, is not, I mean, what was the word you used, the wording you used?
It
was sketchy.
It anticipates you'd have this meeting today.
Yeah, it anticipates what's going on, what has been going on here with the committee. So we certainly need to have something to fill in the blank, right, like we have on other parts of the city, right? Unless council just decides, hey, we're just going to leave that the way it is, with nothing definitive.
Mr. Mayor, I think this is an example of, I think, where a comprehensive plan could be helpful. The Red Cross moved out and found another building. And then we had a person come in and says, I want to put a downtown business. I want to tear down that building, put a downtown business there, and make it and whatever a downtown business would be, which would be a whole list of things. Mm-hmm. On that particular piece of property, would we rather have townhomes or whatever, and we own it. So the question is that the best use of that, and is that what we want in the future? And that's the question. I mean, that's really why we're here. In 20 years, what do we want the Red Cross building to look like? I mean, would it be, and under the comprehensive plan, it would be attached single family around it. But under this, if we should keep it the same, an owner could come and say, wait a minute, the zoning, you know, city owns this, but I mean, city's going to sell it to somebody if they move. Lord knows, don't put it in advocating the Red Cross moving. But I mean, think about what that would be.
You do remember I'm the chairman of the board of the
line. I have to leave.
But we may ask you to move home and get townhomes down there, but you see the dilemma that I'm here? In other words, if we don't have a comprehensive plan that says we want townhomes or residential there, which is what the committee has come up with, and somebody comes in and buys it and says, I'm going to put a downtown business. It's already zoned for that, so thank you very much. So, I mean, there is a reason why you go through this to look at what you want these particular properties to look like in the future. Now, if the gentleman that owns number 10 Downing says, no, I don't want that to be, you know, I don't want townhomes around it. I want to keep it all residential. It stays the same. So, under that situation, we need to go block by block and say what makes sense.
And find out whether the people who own the property
want to do it.
Well, and you've always got that. I mean, we've got a process for people coming forward and saying, I want to rezone my property or what have you. We've got the process, been working for years, right? So we've always got the basic process for doing at the time what seems to be right. We make decisions, a comprehensive plan, but then we're not here. Another council is. And in 20 years, when something comes up, that may not be the best thing for that particular piece of property, although it looks like it is today. So
That's why state law requires you to review your comprehensive plan every 10 years.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mayor.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Plan.
Yeah.
There's a map of Old Aiken in here. It's very pretty close to what is in the proposed plan. I mean, there are some minor differences. If you want to see this, I can pass it around. But there's a map in there for Old Aiken that is somewhat specific. But again, there's a note that says a preliminary and more detailed study will be
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind passing that around, we take a quick look at it as it comes by. Whatever we do, obviously, it's all going to come down to what the council, who's on council, and what council thinks at the time that the issue comes up, even if it's in the comprehensive plan. We're adhering to that comprehensive plan a lot more stricter lately, but it's still a guide. and if you have good reason, you can differ from it.
And thank you, because that's if it's in the comprehensive plan and you want to change it, or council in the future wants to change it, they're supposed to give very good reasons why that change should be made, that they shouldn't just be saying, let's change it on a whim.
Yeah, and if people really don't like what we're doing, then when the next election comes up, they can say, you voted to do this. Are you going to pursue this? What do you got? There's a platform there that people can make a choice about, which I think is a very good thing. So are we going to just go block by block then?
Yeah, let's do then. Yeah. You want to stop in it? Where you want to start? Upper left-hand corner?
Yeah.
Upper left-hand corner. Kind of go clockwise then around it.
Okay.
I had a question, first of all, why Stan Brose's? It looks to me like that white piece of property on Richland in that top left block. That looks. I thought that was Stan Brose's house, the yellow house. And am I thinking wrong there?
Is that one piece there zoned LP right now, Ed?
Greenfall.
Right up here.
Jane, which property?
The one in that top left corner. See, there's that one little white slot that's not going to be that we're not going to recommend changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me like that looks like Stan Brose's house. And if I could think of anybody that has made a house a residence more than they have, well, I can't think of anybody. They've spent so much money and so much love on that property. I just wondered if, Wade, if there was a reason that you knew of that wasn't included. It's this upper left-hand corner. There's a white.
Is that a mistake yet, or is that?
No, that is zoned RS-10. That was rezoned. The Brose's property was rezoned residential. So
it doesn't need to change. That's your point.
Well.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Thanks.
The rest of the room is LP.
So on that block there, does everybody agree that we would talk these owners and see if we get them to change it to single-family residential detached?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be one of them that, the way I'm hearing it right now, is we'd try to send a letter out to everybody and see who would be willing to change.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have we agreed on the approach that's the first step we're going to take on all of these? Okay. All right.
We'll start hiring people to do this.
No.
We'll get some volunteers.
I would think we could, as many as volunteered for that Old Aiken master plan thing.
It's gonna be almost a networking, talking neighbor to neighbor and individual to individual to get this to work.
I think we have to let everybody know too that the way that the zoning will be changed will be exactly the way it is now. They have to submit to change, sign it, send it in, so they know there's no question. We don't need to have any of this stuff. Well, wait a minute, it was changed without my knowledge. In other words, they got to go through the same thing everybody else does. In other words, they submit it. Now, you can be proactive with it and say, listen, here's the form, sign it, send it back if you want, but they've got to go through the same thing. That way, we don't get into this thing about, wait a minute, I didn't, it was changed without my knowledge.
What are you going to do about the filing fee?
Do what?
You're going to ask them to change it. When you do a rezoning, you have to pay, is it $100? To rezone?
Yeah, I was figuring we would not charge them any fees to do this, since we're trying to...
But it would have to be a city-instituted rezoning to not charge fees.
We would lead the action to do it. It's, yes, they have to sign this, and yes, they have to be willing to do it, but we're going to be leading this, not the citizen.
I don't want it to be the same application process that it normally is.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying...
No, I would think we should lead
it. With the exception of the fee.
If you got 100% participation, could it not be a petition in block?
The city could be the institutor of the rezoning, and then they would have a petition that everybody would sign to show that they agree with the rezoning.
And the reason we'd be using volunteers in a lot of this is if somebody from government comes to your door and say, we have a great thing here, we'd like you to change your property zoning, they may not believe us.
Trust me, I'm from the government.
Yeah. I'm from the government. I'm here to help you.
Well, I think they believe us.
Hopefully, we can get the right information out to individuals, and this could be a good thing for everybody.
Great. Okay.
So that one, you feel comfortable with that one, that we'd go to the citizens. How about the next block that's in the red candy stripe? This is currently downtown business, and we're proposing it to become limited professional or limited business.
Why is that? Just so there's not a big...
There's a lot of law offices.
I was going to say, why is that more desirable than downtown business? Because they couldn't. There must be some things they can't do then, right?
Ed?
No retail.
Downtown business allows just about any kind of commercial or retail use. Limited professional limited business would be much more restricted.
Is this more of a transitional then between the downtown and the residential area? Okay. Does that make sense to everybody?
But limited business is retail, right?
Very limited retail.
It has set hours on it that you could operate.
Oh, it does. Okay.
And what you could put in there downtown, you could just about put anything you'd want to into a downtown.
Okay.
Should any of the next 1, 2, 3, 4 blocks, which are all labeled downtown, anybody see any changes that need to be made there? You got a couple of churches in there.
That would be institutional or...
Right. Downtown, again, allows just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
The next two blocks on the very right-hand corner, we're looking at multifamily and single-family instead of downtown business, which is a fairly major change. And right now, they could take down all those buildings and put up... one time, I know that a discussion was held that if a conference hotel ever wanted to come in the city... That could possibly be an area that they could put it into. It's labeled downtown. They buy up all the businesses. You could have a major, intense use.
But now we're eliminating that corner, which is still going to stay downtown business, right?
You're right. You got the frontage on Richland Avenue would still maintain downtown. It's just the properties to the north of the frontage along Richland would be changed to single and multifamily residential.
I was just curious. I don't have an objection to it. Well, why multifamily? I drove that yesterday, and it's all single. It looks single to me anyway.
Ed or Wade, did you have an opinion on that? Why on York Street did we have multifamily facing York Street opposite the First Baptist Church versus single family? Was that just transitional again, or...
I don't know this, but when we had the land planner come in for the property across York Street, there were pockets of attached units that they said would be, you know, for infill downtown rather than detached single family. But I don't know why. You know, that could be something, the reason why they wanted to at least have the flexibility of doing that. But that's because we have some of that, Roger, in that Chesterfield area. You know,
the difference between single family attached and multifamily is the number of units per acre that you could have in there. It more than doubles the number of units you could have per acre. Increase the density is what you all were thinking. Again, right now under DB, they can put anything there.
I know.
So, I mean, it's a very intense basis. But again, it's whatever council wants. The other alternative in there would be to go with the a buff color, which is single family attached, which again gives you a whole lot more units than just detached would give you in yellow.
I mean, I don't really have a problem with adhering to what they came up with, because it is a little bit more, it gives you more units downtown, which is rooftop, so I mean.
And it's on the kind of street that you would expect to have a denser.
Is the next block where the three-story I can't think of the name of it right now. Is it the
Croft House?
Croft House, yes.
No, that's two blocks down.
Two blocks down on
to the north.
I mean, so that there is some multifamily that would.
Now, these are, if I recall correctly, some of these are homes that have been subdivided into multi-units. Some of them are single-family units. Some of them are. There's a real estate office there. There's the Brothers Sisters. That's there's a parking lot that the First Baptist Church has. There's a mixture within that side facing York Street currently, including some single-family homes.
Well, then I don't have any problem with it. That was my question. Just looking at it, you really can't tell whether they've been subdivided or not or
right.
Whatever.
There's a couple of big houses that have like four units, five units in them. Okay, as we go down south of Richland Avenue, there's no changes proposed except along Greenville Street to take some RML and LP to single family, which is currently what's there now. So we'd be going to one, two, three to four homeowners and saying, do you want to rezone your property single family?
I mean, Florence still isn't. Really is the street.
Yeah, right here. Which is currently what's there. It just be asking, do you want to officially make it that? Any other changes where you, again, everything else is DB within that area, keeping it downtown business. Going south of Park Avenue, we do have a lot of different proposed changes. We did talk about the first block here where the number 10 Downing's at. If you change it to what is proposed here, you would restrict and say you could not have a restaurant in the future. Is that what you want?
No. I think we should leave number 10 property as DB, and I think Pat's point about the Red Cross property, though, was very interesting about making that. What did you want to do, make that RMF?
The multifamily, is that what it called for now?
Yeah, right now we're showing multifamily. We got three properties here. You got Red Cross, number 10 Downing, and you have the Bell South building.
To make this, number 10 Downing basically is to the south of where that alley is. Is that right?
Right.
That is correct. And to the north, that is the Bell South building.
To me, it would be better to have it DB, where you don't have DB and then residential. So I think we ought to include the Bell South. I mean, why change theirs? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it just planning better. Everything directly across from Hood's. You understand what I'm saying?
The Bell South and the number 10 is DB.
If you're going to keep number 10 Downing, then you'd have a little square there, which makes no sense planning-wise. I would keep Bell South building the same.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, so those two would stay DB, and we'd want to take the Red Cross and do what we're proposing here, which is multifamily.
You know, the thought about that Red Cross property is that wouldn't be bad for a professional office of sorts either. And the RMF would not be compatible with that, right?
I'm not too sure if you keep that as deep. I mean, if you change it to multifamily, just that as multifamily, you're not going to be able to put a development in there. It's too small as a standalone multifamily. You had to combine with some other property. If you keep it, though, as DB, you probably could have a standalone limited business or professional office there. Does everybody understand what I just said?
Yeah.
I would think that if you're going to keep the other two as DB, you might as well keep that one as DB also.
If City Council owns that property, the city owns that property.
We do own that property.
So, but we, if someone comes to the city with a legitimate offer with the DB zoning, we really don't have the right. Do we have the right to say, no, we don't want to sell it to you because we don't like what you're going to do there?
We have all the right.
You gave the Red Cross a year to get out.
So we do.
Yes, you do.
But we have all the right to be able to say what, as a condition of the sale of property, what goes there, what's going to look like.
We do. That's
we
good.
Do have that.
Yes.
As the owner, which is irregardless of the Red Cross. So you want to keep all those three properties as DB?
I think it's best.
I think so.
It makes sense, yeah.
Okay. Again, you can always go back later on and change it if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street, it's already, it's DB, but it's already multifamily, so it would be going to that complex and asking them to change that to multifamily. The next three lots over are currently single-family lots. So, again, we'd be asking those three owners who have single-family if they want to change it. And they may or may not. The next block over is pretty much limited professional. Of course, you got the bank there. You got the insurance office. But you do have a bed and breakfast in there.
And you got the restaurant. You got olive oils. You know where olive oils is?
Yep.
Roger, I have a slight problem with what we. This is related to my comment on our downtown is becoming more restrictive. You take the next three, DB. Where would expansion of commercial business in the downtown area? Where would they go? In other words, it looks to me like we're taking DB and we're doing it more restrictive for this downtown district. And there's no question about that. I mean, we've taken more DB and made it more restrictive. And to say that we don't want restaurants in that area, or for that matter, in the area to the east on those other two, I'm just not sure about that.
Yeah, like the olive oil, based on my understanding of what a limited professional or limited business would be, you would not be able to have the olive oil there.
No. And then we got a problem south of there across the railroad cut.
Is that correct?
You have a restaurant in limited business and a special exception.
Okay, but they'd have to get a special exception. By right, you couldn't have... But then, again, you're trying to tell them something.
But then if it's not used as a restaurant for a year, they lose it. That's changing people's property. You can't. We're not going to do that. At least I'm not going to vote to do that.
Wade, is there a reason why that you have proposed LB or LP for this area that you can recall?
Well, and the bank wouldn't be compliant either because they have a drive-thru.
That's correct.
I think those are the type of things I think we need to be very careful on. I mean, from the standpoint of leaving something DB, it makes more sense to leave that DB and what we just discussed on the property on Lawrence Street, request trying to get that to multifamily because that's what's around it. I think on those three blocks, we got to be real careful. And
I agree with Ben.
Absolutely.
I
do too.
I think that's
I think we ought to leave it alone.
We need to retain the flexibility, I think.
Keep that as DB.
You know, I really think that people that live downtown are willing to live with the DB zoning that exists right now. I don't see a big problem. Maybe up in the... Now, let me go back. On this map, maybe up in the eastern corner, there's some stuff that's zoned for business, that there's no businesses there at all. That's another animal. But I think right here, what downtown people have said is, hey, don't come into my neighborhood, but we realize we bought this property across the street from a business.
And I think the key is the people that look at DB now say, you know what, it's been there historically that way, I don't mind it, but don't encroach more DB into my residential area.
That's
whole point.
That's
what we've done with this is we've gone the other way.
Yeah.
We've taken the residential and said, we're going to go into DB area, and that's what all the...
But, you know, in a way, when you think about it, it's really exciting that these committees, I mean, take it so seriously that the downtown housing is an important factor.
No.
How many towns never appreciate that? And they don't. And so, I mean, maybe it went a little too far one way, but nevertheless, I think the general drift is a really caring, it's a concern, which is good.
As we go further to the east along Park Avenue, we have two partial blocks there along the railroad that currently has a number of professional or limited business type of operations. Pretty much fit into the category that they have assigned here, but we could either keep it DB, which gives more flexibility in the future, or change it to what it's currently being used at.
I think that's exactly the same case I have with the DB on the other side. I'd leave it DB.
And, you know, the good thing here, too, is the railway separates these from the residential properties on the other side. We have that real bonus there.
Mm-hmm. You know, what we're missing here is some dialogue as to why the folks decided to do some of the things that we're looking at.
I know it. That's right.
We're missing that totally. I mean, we have Wade here, of course, but I mean, there must have been some thinking that went into this. Somebody just didn't sit down and say, hey, this ought to be this. There must have been some discussion and what have you.
Mr. Mayor, you're trying to guess, but if I was on a committee and all of the businesses that are in that block are limited professional, I'd say, well, let's just make them all limited professional. What I'm trying to figure out here is if we do away with DB downtown and there is no place to do it, then guess where they go? They go to the suburbs, which means we've hurt the downtown area. So, you know, if I was looking at it and all the property is limited professional in that block, I'd say, okay, well, let's just make it limited professional that people would be trying to read. Wade, would that be a safe statement that that's what happened?
Yeah.
They were reflecting what existed,
what
is what you're
there.
Saying. The other thing is, if we do institute some design guidelines, that's going to make DB a lot less scarier for some people.
And we were looking at the north side of Park Avenue and Richmond Avenue as areas that business would expand. That's where you'll see growth. Those natural corridors.
Okay. Going south the railroad track, the first property going along the south boundary towards the woods, which is vacant right now, could be made into multifamily. They're recommending it being open space.
Wow.
Which the homeowner may, or not homeowner, but the owner may say yes or they may say no.
Who owns it? The person that owns the complex?
I thought it was the Bostwicks that owned that?
The
Goodyears that own that?
You're talking about the property down below Hitchcock?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, opposite the Goodyear home.
Yeah. I think Goodyear. I don't think they can develop that property. I almost bought it one time myself. There's all kind of easements through there. There's just not enough room with the easements to build one.
That would be beautiful for Green Space.
I mean, we could go to them and ask if they'd like to make a donation.
Well, you know, the land trust might want to.
Mm-hmm. But again, if they don't, they probably aren't going to want to rezone it.
I know, but we could ask.
But we could ask. We'll go ahead and do that. Then the next property, south boundary in Lawrence, again, it's basically vacant there. That's right up where Nancy Wiles lives now.
I talked to her yesterday, and she said that the property, she owns the property right, she doesn't own that whole corner.
No.
She owns straight south of her building, which is that two-piece building. on the south side. And she said, as narrow and steep as that lot is, she would like to see, I mean, it makes sense for it to be one thing, that it's just not really suitable for lots of multi.
But of course they can. I mean, it's construction wise.
She would, so for that reason, she would go along with the change.
But she doesn't own it.
But she doesn't own the corner.
Okay.
She owns the next piece. She owns part. She owns the. She owns the horizontal part of the L. Not, well, no, she doesn't. She just owns the tip of the L. I don't know. I think the complex, don't they own the whole rest of it? I believe they own the rest of it.
Yeah, I believe that. It's a kind of a funny arrangement in there, but you are correct.
But we'd have to check with them and see if they wanted to do that.
Right. Well, and you said with all this.
When you said a complex, the homeowners association or the developer?
Do you recall on that? Which one it was?
I did a little research on that, and I'm recollecting that it's the developer. At one time, they were going to put a pool in that area, and they never did. I'm not exactly sure. That's what I recollect.
Well, they have a pool up there now,
okay.
Right opposite Nancy's front door, in the upper part of that L. It's the bottom portion along south boundary that's not developed. So it's the homeowners association or the developer?
I think it's the developer.
Well, we could check if that's what you want. I mean, if you want it to be single family, we could see if they'd be willing to do that. You know?
That's a really steep piece of property. That's another one we might want to approach someone with a land trust proposition. You know, that's a hard piece of property to build on. What with the steepness of the slope and the business and the traffic and way, I mean, I think there are probably easements along there as well, wouldn't there be?
Yeah, I think it would also, single family home makes most sense there. I think if you think of the traffic at that particular, if you're going to have a lot of people adding to in and out right on that corner, I think it's a pretty dicey proposition.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other changes on that block? You can see the rest of it is zoned RS8, residential single family, 8,000 square feet, which is exactly what it is right now. So, I mean, there's really no changes. The next block over, it's zoned RML, and they're recommending that where there's currently two single family homes on the northwest corner, asking them to make that change. From RML to RS8. Any problem asking them to do that?
No, that's what they are now, right?
That's what they are now.
Yeah.
And then going across street, we have Wilcox, and then we do have some larger homes that are subdivided into apartment complex type units. And they're saying, let's make that single family attached.
I can assure you that the property on York Street in Colleton, that was my dad's property, and my nephew and I own it now. I can assure you that they are not going to request to go to single family, because there's still use for apartments for, since the Savannah River plant came in here, which is 50 years. So I can assure you that that corner will not request to be changed. Now, the other four may.
Well, certainly the Wilcox.
The Wilcox needs this. I mean, what do we do? I mean, gracious. What, could the Wilcox exist there as the proposed change?
Yes.
Well,
I mean, it can exist so long as it stays in good shape.
Yeah, but what if it closes down for a year, like it did that one
time? Listen, I know, and we saved it.
I don't. The only area that I'm aware of that has the, if you close down for a year, it changes to the existing zoning, would be the Hayne Avenue area. Is that right, Ed?
Sorry. The question that provision applies everywhere.
Is for the 1 year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, think about it. I don't think we should change that. Historically, it's been a hotel, and why would we change it?
I would guess the thinking was that, and I don't think we're going to have to worry about it in the near future. I sure hope we won't. That when we moved here and in the 80s, it was in such deplorable state that everyone was terrified that it was going to be torn down and a filling station put there, which it could have, but which the worst case scenario painted that that could happen. What happened is what Wade said on the other corner, there were so many easements with the railway and stuff that it, if they tear down that building, there's not enough room to do much on. You know what I mean? And I think, I'm just guessing, but I would think people didn't want to see, since it's south of the railroad, you know what I mean, that, mm-hmm. that if it were to disappear, they didn't want to see businesses on that property, perhaps.
Well, I know that there was going to be torn down an office building built there. I know that until we got it done and somebody put up a heck of a lot of money and got it fixed. So, I mean, it would have been an office building had they not saved the old Wilcox.
But I think they would feel that we were going after them if we asked them to change their zoning to single family attached. I really do.
I'd agree with that.
That's probably a good analysis, Jane, of what they felt at the time. Because you could have a truck stop there.
Yeah, I know. But really, I heard people worry about that.
You could have a lot of things there other than the hotel.
Do you want us to approach them or not? I guess that's the main question.
I don't have a problem with approaching them and saying, listen, what do you think about what would your zoning be in the future? Because if you look at being on the south side of, if it wasn't there, would we want all the businesses that could go into DB there? Is that what we'd want as far as a comprehensive plan?
Again, my only concern that I have, and I guess it's the same thing that Jane had mentioned, is going to David Garrett and saying, David, if your place ever disappeared, what would you like to see the zoning?
Roger, we're going to do that in every one of these places. We're going to go as if you're. I mean, we need every one of these places that we've. You know, we're talking about up there, Richland and Greenville. If it's DB now, and if their place disappeared and couldn't do it, same thing. I mean, he's probably. If it was me, I'd say no. I don't want it changed. But does it? I think that's a clear example of saying
if the hotel does disappear, its property value is less if it's this other zone. I don't know.
You tell us what you want us to do.
I think we should, if we believe that the long-term comprehensive plan of the downtown district, what we want to be done with that land, we at least should try. But I'm not saying just say if you don't want to change it, that's fine. We'll leave it where it is. But on that one of all these blocks that I would look at, if I were doing a land plan as it relates to, and there was no zoning on it now, none of us would put DB there.
No.
I mean seriously, we would not. We got DB across the street. We should at least try on that particular piece of property. Now,
try as a single family attached, or try as limited professional, limited business. What would you put there?
I really wouldn't object to limited professional there because it backs up the railroad. But I need to think about that one.
Well, if it's limited professional, it could be other offices, health services, except a hospital, and any residential except apartments. If it's limited professional.
They have size restrictions. Yeah. Limited business has hour restrictions as to when it can be open.
I think personally it's going to be a moot point because I don't think he'd want to change it, but that's...
Yeah, I don't either. But we need to have something that we want to go to if he does.
I think LP is a good one. Because that would allow single family attached common wall structure.
And it would also allow townhomes, would it not? Roger?
Any residential except apartments, it says here.
But of course, with BZA approval, you could have other things there as well.
It has some restrictions, but not major restrictions on it. So propose to them, if they want to make a change to LP, LB. And again, I'm not too sure he's going to want to, but...
Just a question. I mean, from the legal side, if he did agree to it and it was destroyed by fire, could he replace it back to its original use?
If it was more than 50% destroyed...
He could not?
He could not.
Well, that needs to be explained to him.
You mean if the zoning is changed?
Correct.
To be on the comprehensive plan. If this were to be changed, yes, to LP... It's destroyed more than 50%.
Not on the comprehensive plan.
No.
If the actual zoning of the property was changed.
Yeah.
If that's the case, I think we better be careful.
Right, because with costs escalating for replacement, 50%, I mean, they've already had that one fire, probably cost them more than 50%.
But if we look at the future value of that property, what would be the highest and best use if the hotel were destroyed? It's not really, I don't see it being a general business kind of idea anyway.
No.
Well, but he'd want to put it back to what it is now. That's my point. If it's destroyed, we change the zoning and he wants to build the Wilcox back.
Yeah, he can't.
He can't do it.
I guess what I'm getting at is, even if he wanted to move on at some point and we're no longer going to be a hotel, I don't think it would be a gas station or general business. That wouldn't be the highest and best use of that land. I think someone would pay a pretty fair amount to get a nice piece of land to do some very nice townhomes, mm-hmm, or single-family residences in that neighborhood.
The only reason why I mentioned that was
we're worried about something that I don't think we...
But the point is this, if we go to him and he did say, yes, I will change it, if it would be destroyed by fire, he could not put the hotel back. So,
Really saying there's no need to change it right now because I don't think
I agree.
I don't think that's what's going to happen.
There's some more what ifs, though, because he could go to BZA and say, hey, I want to put a bed and breakfast with up to 10 rooms and a meeting facility. And he could rebuild that.
But he wouldn't be able to have his restaurant with dinner.
Well, yeah, just bed and breakfast. Right.
I think we need to leave it DB.
Yeah, I think it stays the way it is. Yeah.
Don't go to him.
I'd leave it DB.
Are you relieved?
Yes, I am.
Just spend all that money.
That would send the wrong signal.
I just feel the wrong message would be going to him. We want you to rezone it and question like, are you for us or not for us?
They have put so much money into that.
The next block over that Pat said he owns the apartment, do we want to keep that as RML or do we want to go ahead? And again, right across the street is the library. On one side, the opposite side of the street is residential. Currently, it's zoned residential, multifamily, limited, or light.
And then the piece that's blank next to it is the Thornton's house, and that's already residential, so that's why that's not on there, I presume.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's a question of, right now, it's low density. Do you want to make it just residential only?
I can assure you the corner's going to stay RML.
We would not go to Pat.
Well, I don't think Mickey and Clary is going to want to do that.
I know he's not.
What's wrong with leaving it just like it is?
Okay, 50 years, my conditions might change, that might change.
Well, let me give you an example.
We'll change too.
Think about this. It would not be with what's happened in downtown Charleston, the conversion of condominiums for old houses to get density. That could be done there. Eventually, it could be converted to condos, and so that's the reason why the corner. Now, would the other people want to do everything with that corner?
Who owns that house on the railroad now? Are the Fadahis still there?
No, it was bought by the principal at St. Mary's. St. Mary's sold it to Dyer? Dar, John Dar. So, I mean, that's single family.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other changes that you'd like to see made?
Okay, now the next step is to talk to these folks, right? And see if they want to change.
That's correct.
Okay. Let me ask, Bob and Betty, you all have been very patient, and I know you're so interested in what's going on here. Do you have anything you'd like to say for the record? If you want to, you can.
Well, we appreciate the chance to just listen. If the building burns and then the land is there, it wasn't the land that was designated, I suppose it was the building. So I didn't know if that would have anything to do with, with the zoning.
That's actually an additional designation. In addition to the zoning, the property also has a designation as being a historic property, but it doesn't have any impact on the particular zoning on the property.
But would it keep somebody from putting an unattractive business there?
Well, I'll give you an example. I think number 10 Downing Street is on the historic register.
Yes.
It's on the historic register not because it was a restaurant,
right. But
it was because it was a residence of somebody years ago. So, I mean, the fact that it's a restaurant doesn't change the fact that it's still a historic structure.
But that structure, taking it a step further, that structure could be taken down if they wanted to, right?
Correct.
And something else could be built there.
But they'd have to go through the Preservation Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But
Bob, just had a question.
The Preservation Commission couldn't tell them they could not take the building.
Yes, they could.
Yeah, because
yes, they could.
Because
that's my question.
Yeah, it's the local preservation could. The National Trust doesn't do anything unless you're using federal money. But the local Preservation Commission, because that's an individually designated property, could say to them, no, you may not take that down.
That's correct. Yeah.
Absolutely, they could.
And if it gets into disrepair, they can go and tell them you've got to bring it into repair.
Yeah.
Bob, do you have any feeling? I mean, what we're planning to do is to go to the individual homeowners and individual property owners and say, this is what the comprehensive plan that the committee and the city council looked at, and if you want to have your property zoned, then submit it. From the standpoint of common sense.
I'm not opposed to that at all. Matter of fact, I think that's a good idea. I may have mentioned it the other night. There's two questions that I have.
Bob, would you do me a favor? Would you come up to the mic, if you don't mind? I'm not sure we can get. We want to get all of our comments on the tape, and I'm not sure we can get it.
One thing,
Bob Meadows.
I have my hearing aid, so I've been hearing a little bit more today of what I was doing the other night. There's two questions I had for Garrett. Nonconformity. Back in 1999, when not the zoning was changed, but just ordinance was changed, that ordinance said that people who had property and whatever it was being used for, that they could continue, apparently, until they no longer were doing business there, and if it didn't have the same type business or if a business was not created in that same location within 12 months, the so-called, some of you call it grandfather, but it's nonconformance, and as far as I know, I don't know what grandfather means. But the reason I ask this question is this is what happened on my property, and this is the other question. The property has always belonged to me. I have leased it to American Size and Chemical Company, and when they left, the landowner, me, that I bought the property, it looks like the use would not have changed to the property owner. It was the business who had a variance in on the had a variance when we started American Sizing Chemical Company. Of course, we own it too. But when it left, why wouldn't the grandfather, if you will, a nonconformist, continued to the property owner?
I think it is my understanding if there's not an operation, a business operation actually going on there, then the nonconforming use rule would kick in. In other words, once that business quit, if there was a 12-month period before that business resumed or a business resumed, then that 12-month period would kick in.
Right. I mean, okay. And that's what's... this is what I was thinking about a while ago when you were talking about. You could go ahead now, this council, and everybody whose property has been changed would be on nonconformance once they stopped operating there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this would really create, I mean, it seems to me like it creates the same kind of problem I have now. Had I known... And this is why it's so important, and our good mayor and some of our council members have said all along that if we're going to change somebody, they need to know it. And had I known, when I sold my business, I would have sold the property too. I didn't know or didn't have any idea, and you know, Roger, I won't repeat this, and, you know, but I didn't realize it at the time when I went down to tell Roger about our good fortune of having a new business in town. I found out in 1999 the ordinance had been changed, and my property was no longer available for manufacturing nor fabrication.
You see, that one of the critical things here is that if we change the allowable uses or change what the zoning, in other words, you can allow, it used to be that you could have multifamily in limited profession, isn't that right? It used to be that way? Or there's one of those two, and I think we changed back 10 years ago as far as what is allowed in limited professional. That was changed by council. A lot of people that had that zoning didn't realize it.
We actually had a professional zone.
Professional zone.
It was professional.
You had a professional zone that allowed multifamily in it, I think. And when it was changed, saying, well, we're not going to have professional zone anymore, it's going to be limited.
Correct.
Limited professional, and apartments are not allowed in it. People didn't know
every
that.
Every property that was zoned professional was zoned LP.
People did not know that.
Right. None of them were zoned office?
No. So we rezoned some properties later, mm-hmm. but all of the P's were zoned LP.
And when they went to LP, and people didn't know that. I mean, the people that owned the property, and they would come in and say, well, you know, I got somebody who wants to buy this and put multifamily on it. Sorry. That's what you're talking about. That's
well, we're
exactly
not going to do that again.
Well,
it happened to us, too. I mean, we were in a professional zone, and it got rezoned business. And we didn't know about it until... the guy that owns the rest of the property started saying, well, heck, I can put this in there and that in there. And I said, no, you can't. He said, sure, I can. And he could. And we didn't know anything about it. And we're not just renting. We own that part of that property.
It works.
We didn't know.
It works both ways is what I'm saying.
It does.
The key is inform people of what's going on.
Yeah, and we'll do that. We're going to do that.
Well, I'll just say this. I think that all of you are in agreement that any changes to a person's property, they should have prior knowledge. And so, I mean, I think from what I've gathered over the last two or three sessions or 2 years.
Not only prior knowledge, Bob, but they should agree.
That's a big part.
They should agree.
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
That's the important
piece
of it, as far as we're concerned, I'm concerned.
One other thing, and I'll go. It's been mentioned a couple of times, and all of you are well aware of it better than me, but one of the things that the zoning does now, and it's very, very important, when somebody, just because their property is zoned a certain thing, when they get ready to do something, they've got to go before the Planning Commission and so forth, and this gives their neighbors the neighbors an opportunity to have input whether or not they want them in the neighborhood. And I think that's a very, very important factor concerning everything that you've talked about. Don't forget, just because it's zoned something and that's what you want to do, when you come before the zoning board, before it gets to you people, the zoning board has all the community people there, and it's very effective. I mean, I've seen it and I've witnessed it. And when we file for a variance, I had a picture, I mean, you know, had taken videos of the operation down there, and everybody was scared to death about a chemical operation in their neighborhood. But once they saw the pictures on the screen over there, and we explained to them that what we were doing is mixing products, and all of them were commodity products, which was, you could buy off the shelf. And so, but the people in that neighborhood was the one that allowed us to have the variance, you know, you people agree to it. And so we spent 11 years there. We're happy neighbors. It was great, I think, for the city because of the revenue. If you look at a $5 million, the lady the other night talking about the $7 million that her business generates, when you look at the revenues being generated by a $7 million company versus or a $5 million company where you've got six or eight, she probably has 15 or 20 employees. But when you look at that from a revenue standpoint versus what you're getting from me now as a piece of property over there, and all I'm paying you is property tax. And you know, the city, that's an important, I mean, and I'm a part of it. It's very important for the city to have good businesses, small businesses. And so anyway, Fred, thank you much.
Thank you, Bob. Okay.
We need to set some more dates.
Yes.
Hate to say it, but we got several other areas to look at.
Well, I think this is a good
block by block.
Thank you. I think this is a great way to do it piece by piece because it was overwhelming.
Now, one of the things you may want, and I don't know how long, you know, we talked about doing this plan back in the 90s, mid-90s. So, I mean, we'd like to get through this, but I don't want council to feel like they're rushed in getting through this. I think it's important that we go through it carefully. Two thoughts. Would you like us over the next 30 days to start talking to some of these property owners so that we can come back to you and give you a feel as to some of the comments, some of the feelings we have or do you want to go ahead and just start plowing through these other areas first?
Well, I would say why not start?
Might as well see how they react.
The city is going to help them fill out the forms. They're just not going to send them a blind piece of paper and say, you get busy.
We first of all have to find out, is this something that you'd be agreeable to? If they are, then we would go ahead and do all the paperwork and everything else that's involved. My sense is I would prefer to go ahead and start talking to some of these neighborhoods, some of the homeowners. Then I could come back to you at the next meeting, whenever that is, maybe 2 months from now, and to report these are some of the issues that have come up as we've talked to them that you need to be aware of as we look at these other areas. Some of the difficulties, some of the pluses, the negatives that we've heard. I'd like to get through the plan as soon as possible, but on the other hand, it's not something that's time sensitive that if we don't get through it in the next few months, we're facing some major issues out there. Now, that's just my thoughts. I'm not too sure what Sandra and Ed feel about it, but we know we have at least four more areas that are even more difficult than this area.
I think the key is that we've got the process started now. They know it's going to be a deliberate process of how it's done. They know it's, but I would just soon schedule the next one, and we'll go through the same thing we did, make it 8 o'clock in the morning again and pick a date that everybody that can try to get here, and we'll just, if it takes the next 2-3 months to do it,
I'm not sure what we'd learn, Roger, by stopping the process long enough to start talking to people that would influence what we're going to do in the process. I don't see a connection there, really. What would we learn?
that would cause us to change our process that we've agreed to do here? Nothing. Seems to me it's, you know, put it real simple, it's either yes or no. Well, you, when you talk to these people, either they want to do it or they don't.
To be honest with you, you could have one particular section that wants it and a whole other section say, no, I don't, no, we don't want to do that. Yeah. So,
and that's why we built this experience as we go through. And at the end is we decide how we're going to implement.
I can tell you this right now. What we did today solved a lot of problems. I mean, we would have been sending letters out to every one of those businesses out on Park Avenue saying, we're going to change it from DB to... Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, you would have had a whole step. I think if you look at what we did today, we helped solve a lot of those discussions.
You saved all of us a lot of headaches.
Yeah. Let's schedule the next one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Is there any problem, Roger, with moving forward staff-wise?
No.
Limited, that kind of thing?
We have all four maps ready to set up and say, okay, the next one we'll probably do will be the northwest quadrant, then we'll go to the northeast quadrant, and then... And move it through one quadrant at a time. Okay. That way we're breaking up into chunks that you could go ahead and visit and drive through, look at, and hopefully we'll get Leslie and Beverly here because we need their participation too, especially as we go through the northwest and northeast quadrants.
Right.
You want to pick a date at city council meeting?
Yeah, Dick's got something.
I want to get one other point on procedure, though. The mayor mentioned this thing a little bit. We're flying blind because we don't always understand the logic behind why something was done. This was done, I think, by subcommittees. Right. And I just wonder if we could have someone from the subcommittee on a particular...
Good point. Good point.
And that's why Wade's here today.
Yeah, but Wade...
May I make a comment?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who is the staff person with the downtown?
Anybody that sits here for an hour and 45 minutes can certainly make a comment.
We need that person there, too.
I hesitate to speak for the committee, but I'll speak for myself. When we were working on this, we had no idea that the city would be proactive and be going to property owners suggesting that the zoning would be changed. I mean, to us, this was a plan for way in the future. And as circumstances changed and things occurred, you would try to use this as a guideline to make this plan happen if you adopt it. My question to you is that when you go to these property owners and say, you know, this is what we want to do, we want, you know, in effect, we want to do it now. We, you know, we're suggesting that you consider changing. I can tell you that probably 90% of them go say, I don't want to change. That's a natural reaction. So when you run into that, what you could do with that, just throw it out.
No, I hope not.
But we're still, Wade, I've still said that we have to find out all of the facts first and then decide exactly how we're going to handle it in the end. It's still a good plan. I don't think anybody...
Yeah. Right.
The overall plan is good. It's got a lot of work in it. We have to figure out how we're going to implement it. But first, we got to know...
it appears to me that you're moving forward to implement it before you even adopt it.
Well, no. I think it's the other way around.
You're going to wave Brody and say, you know, this is, you know, we're going to change your zoning. No. And you haven't adopted the plan.
But see, this is a possibility that we might change your zoning if you want to do it. Is what we're really proposing.
Wait a minute. What we did today for the last hour and 45 minutes was we looked at the plan that was submitted to us by the Citizens Advisory Committee. And we looked at it and says, we don't like those six blocks. We ain't going to change them. That is what we did today. That we're submitting that plan. Yeah. So you're wrong. We looked at it and said, this is what we think is reasonable. Now we're going to go with that plan, which is a lot different. I bet you we changed, in other words, rather than sending out 90 or 100, we're probably sending out 15. to, I don't know, that's a guess, but we, this morning, looked at that one section and said, this is the plan which we will sign off on. Now, I'm not, there may be some changes in that, because we haven't raised our hand and said, yes, this is our comprehensive plan, but we've already done that. So,
well, is city council go consider this and either adopt it or reject it, or is city council go let, you know, every property owner on an individual basis try to write the plan?
What we just decided was that we're going to have, and I think we decided this in the first 10 minutes, was this was going to be a plan, a comprehensive plan, but under no circumstances would we allow allow us to change a person's zoning. That's stamped. That's stamped.
I think we would all agree with that.
I think he has a good point. Maybe we should wait before contacting property.
Right now we have 65 property owners, based on what you are...
I mean, until we get the whole thing done and approved.
Natural reaction is, no, I don't want to change.
I think that's a good point, too.
I do, too.
You know, if we go back and look at what was submitted to us, all these pages, we've yet to go through these. We've yet to start going through these and saying, yes, we would accept that. That's fine. And changing words where we need to change words and what have you. We're hung up on this one point having to do with rezoning.
Yeah.
At one point in this whole thing, and that's what we're attacking.
Yes.
Right?
I think the point here is, so
I think you raise a very good point. You've clarified something in my mind here too, because we've got a big thing here, and perhaps we could do both a little bit at the same time. But we, at some point, we need to go through this document line by line,
which we will,
and say yes or no, and what we can do. And the zoning is just one piece of it.
But I think, isn't it critical? I mean, I agree we should probably get what the overall thing is, but just because somebody says, I don't want my zoning changed, the comprehensive plan would say this. We're not going to change it, but the future, 10, 20 years, we feel like it should be this. We're not changing your zoning, but maybe the next property owner that comes in and buys it says that I would like to have it all around or whatever. That's what we're talking about. We can have a comprehensive plan, which we basically all raise our hands, yes, we like that. We're not going to change your zoning, but the plan stays in effect. As long as it stamps in, we're not going to change people's zoning. The plan, just, I'm not going to change my vote because one person says, I don't want my zoning changed.
You recall what happened when you were talking about annexation. And if you are constrained by that, and if you move in the direction of moving in, contacting all these property owners, you're setting yourself up for a similar situation.
Wade, we are going, what's your thought? Don't contact them? We're going to contact them. Don't contact them. That ain't going to happen. We're going to contact these people. If we're considering a comprehensive plan, it's going to change. But we may change. But
we have public hearings. The citizens have an opportunity, and a lot of them took advantage of it to come in and make comments. So it's not something that's done like that.
Wade, I'm telling you, those committees that were set up were, a lot of people were, and I know this for a fact, asked Bob what his input was in his subcommittee, whether they listened to him. Ask him. So we're not going to do this without contacting the people.
I think Wade's suggestion, though, is let's pass the comprehensive plan. You're not going to change the zoning until after you pass the comprehensive plan anyway.
Oh, they can master plan.
And then send the letters out after that.
You're not going in there wholesale to change the zoning. At least I don't think so.
Yeah.
Unless you want to get voted out of office.
I guess the only question I have is whether we wait till the whole thing's done, which I would agree with, because that might be something we missed this morning, and then send it out. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I think we ought to go through this.
Every time we discuss it, we think it's something different.
Okay.
This quadrant we had, I counted up, there are 65 property owners we'd be contacting right now. This is the smallest one. I mean, northwest and northeast quadrant, there are several hundred property owners. We're talking about, I imagine, 800-900 property owners eventually, you know, if we say this is what we want to do, that would have the potential of changing. So it's going to be a lot.
Roger, how many were to be contacted before this meeting?
We this meeting today?
Mm-hmm. On this little section, how many would have been contacted before we had this work?
Oh, there'd probably been over 100. I mean, we narrowed it down, but there still remain 65 that we said we still would like to see contacted or would change.
Actually, I think Wade's point is, I was really just saying, well, if we're going to do this, let's move it along, which is always what I was ready to do. But I don't see any great harm as long as we go ahead and get these meetings over and get the decisions done and all five meetings or whatever it takes. Then look at it and decide as part of how we're going to implement from there.
Do the meetings, make some decisions before we start going out talking to people. But in the meantime, we've got to get through all these other items.
Yeah, fine. Right.
It's going to take several months.
Yes, yeah, but not rush out and start talking to people.
Thank you.
I think that's
appreciate
right.
That.
And
Wade,
that's why I appreciate that your comments, Wade. I'd kind of forgotten about the whole thing, to tell you the truth. We were concentrating so much on the zoning aspect of it, and so many other things we've got to make decisions on to get the whole package done.
Do you want to meet once a month, twice a month on this? What kind of frequency would you like to continue our meetings?
I could meet twice a month.
Good.
Because, I mean, we're still talking.
If we do it in units like this where we meet from an hour and a half to 2 hours,
right.
That's the limit.
Yeah.
No marathons.
If we go twice a month, then we'll at least get through it maybe by springtime.
Yeah.
And actually, I think we also learned how to do it today to a certain extent, so I think we may even be able to move faster.
Do you want to just say that every other Wednesday, which would be the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 8 o'clock, I mean, who's here is here, and that's...
That'd be the 27th.
You know, we're not going to get everybody here, probably, but that's...
That works.
So the 27th will be the next one.
10 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
Wait.
Second and fourth Wednesdays.
27th, the next one.
And then in November, you'd be talking the 10th and the 24th. Now, the 24th, you may or may not want to have. That's the day before Thanksgiving.
I won't be here. I don't think it is.
So that one we may want to skip. Why don't you figure right now it's the 10th of November and the 27th of October.
It's probably a good idea, since we have three, not... schedule for the 27th, and then the next city council meeting, let's go over the schedule again, because I don't want anybody to think we're trying to set up a schedule that nobody else can meet.
And when we're discussing particular council people's areas, they got to be here.
I'll call Leslie up, and if she can't make on the 27th, then we'll find another area to work on.
Yeah, great.
Okay, thank you all for coming.
Okay, we stand adjourned.
Jane, you have 3 minutes.
Yeah.